Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
This is Believe in Georgia Dogs Podcast on the Believe Podcast Network.
Scored a touchdown earlier on a direct snap. Now it's Michelle's turn, running all the way. Gets to the edge. Sonny Michelle will send the Dogs home to the championship game.
...53.5-yard drive near hash, kick right, snap, hold, kick is away, it's reaching, and it is good, 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 Hot Pod does it, all right, Hot Pod!
Wilcox with an up and out, wide open, touchdown, Israel 2!
All right, welcome to the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Believe Podcast Network, coming at you on Brinks TV as well. We are the national champions for the first time in 41 years. Joining me is a man who's also a national champion on Twitter. His name is Israel Troop, at TroopStar28, if you want some good entertainment. What's up, dude?
What's up, man? You know, just dropping knowledge on all these so-called fans that we have. You know, they come and they go, but you know, hey, it is what it is.
And we'll talk about why here in a little bit. But first, I mean, it's the first time you and I have got a chance to talk about it, at least on this platform. We've talked about it prior to this, but the week got away from us last week. We had matching headaches. Apparently, I had a little migraine. Terrible. All the lack of sleep from the excitement of being able to strut around in my Georgia stuff at school all week, especially the Bama fans who gave me hell for a month. That felt good.
Man, it was bad. All of my students were against me. Two of our principals were against me. And when I got back to school, it was really, really quiet. And I made sure I wore one of my old jumpsuits, actually the one that we wore in the Sugar Bowl. I still had it, so I wore the whole jumpsuit, shoes and all.
Oh, you did it right, man. That's what's up, man. That's where it's at. Yeah, I made sure every day last week I wore a piece of Georgia apparel. But of course, that white stuff that falls from the sky fell last week, so we had another few days off. Been dealing with a lot of snow lately, and it's cool for like the first few hours. You look outside and you're like, oh, it's snow, yeah, and then it gets real old real fast. So, yeah,
make sure y'all keep it up there. We're actually about to get a little cold front coming down here, but we're not expecting any snow down in South Georgia. North Georgia got a lot of snow, but luckily we didn't get any down here.
Yeah. So yeah, we're, our low tonight, overnight low, and wake up in the morning, it's gonna be 9 degrees, Israel. 9 degrees. Ooh. You ready for that?
Oh, that's frigid. No deal.
Yeah, that is frigid. Even for me, it's frigid. I don't like that either. Cause then we have to go outside, start my car. I'm about to sit in there. It's going to be terrible. I really deep down don't like the cold, but I like the idea of having all four seasons. So it's like, kind of have to grin and bear it, right?
Yeah, we might get two out of the whole year. I mean, right about Christmas, I mean, it was still 85 degrees here.
Yeah.
We get monsoon weather a lot, so that's usually how it works down here.
Yeah. Eh, it happens, right? So we're brought to you by betonline.ag. BetOnline would like to wish everyone a happy new betting year as we continue to march into 2022. We are well into 2022 now, so it's a new year, new updated desktop and mobile website. Sign up today, receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE to get started. So from basketball, football, hockey, boxing, UFC, the NFL divisional round is coming up, so make some bets there. Vegas casino games as well. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. So BetOnline is the fastest, easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. Israel, we'll talk a little NFL to wrap up the show. Talk a little bit, see where your mind is on these playoffs, and kind of see what team you're latching on, since your Cowboys couldn't seem to get it done last week.
Oh man, it was absolute. That was one of the worst games I've watched in a long time. From especially, you know, when Dan Quinn, great defensive mind, has all the right pieces in the right spots, and guys are missing tackles, we're making penalties. Mm-hmm. We didn't even attempt to run the football at all in the game. So, you know, and we'll get into that too, because, you know, apparently Georgia needs an elite quarterback to throw the football 50 yes. times instead of trying to run the football.
Yes, they do. They do. Apparently they do. Our man Chris on Twitter feels that way. So, but he had a delightful nickname for you. So I'm blessed. I don't know if I want to say that on here, but, so yeah, let's very briefly, you know, the game is going to kind of tie into our discussion about all these departures and things like that. And, you know, it's the transfer portal era. So that's going to happen. But, you know, one of the greatest things about this game, Israel, is I think, you know, they finally listened to us. They must have listened mm-hmm. to us, because that was probably the most aggressive defensive game plan I've ever seen out of this team.
Man, we did everything that got us to the championship game, mm-hmm. as to the SEC championship game, got us, you know, beat down to Michigan in the semifinals. We did everything we've been doing all year. Finally, you know, we finally got, you know, the monkey off our back playing Alabama, you know, which is great. And now, I mean, the standard's set, you know, we want to play for a national championship every single year. You know, we want it now. We know how it feels. Now let's go do it again.
And again, and again, and again. Yes. And, you know, just, they played man most of the night. William Poole had the game of his life. Keely Ringo was able to shut down. And, you know, I just, you know, the biggest thing that I heard all last week was, oh, well, we didn't have Jameson Williams. We didn't have our top receivers. Yeah, you had a month to prepare for no Mechie. You had a month to get Cameron Latu ready, to get Ja'Cory Brooks ready, to get Slade Bolden ready, to get all those guys ready to go along with Jameson Williams. So really you only lost one guy. That's not an excuse. That can't be, you can't fall back on that and say, okay, you know, we had nobody to throw to. Yeah. You want to look at the recruiting rankings? You did have people to throw to. So
yeah,
that's not an excuse to me.
People to throw the ball to. I mean, it doesn't hurt losing to your top targets. Of course it does. Any coach, any coordinator mm-hmm. will tell you it does hurt when two of your targets are down. But at the same time,
you gotta have stuff in place.
Alabama doesn't rebuild; they reload. So yeah. Why are those guys getting reps? You know, of course you're gonna use your top guys, but why aren't the backup guys at least getting reps? You know, with the number one quarterback. You know what I mean? So yeah. I mean, that's a coaching issue. If that's going to be your excuse, then that's a coaching issue.
Yeah, you didn't get enough guys ready. I mean, you can't lean on Jameson Williams and Jameson Williams only. I mean, it's a great tool to lean on.
But let's talk about, you didn't attempt to run the football until the fourth quarter.
No.
There's an idea.
Yeah, like you have Brian Robinson, who just mauled Cincinnati, which, I mean, Cincinnati and Georgia are two totally different programs, two totally different trajectories, but still. He's a good running back. You didn't try to set up the run. I mean, you got it. Like, you can't play right into Georgia's hands. I mean, you got to force Georgia to stop the run.
You didn't even RPO.
Yeah.
You didn't use your RPOs. You didn't mm-hmm. use them as a decoy. Mm-hmm. You did everything wrong. And you lost the football game. Just own it. It happens.
And they allowed us to pin our ears back and come after you. So that's, I mean, again, that's a Bill O'Brien thing. That's a, you know, that is a scared game plan. I know what a scared game plan looks like, because we had one a month ago.
Devontae Smith tweets, run the ball.
You know.
Yeah. Devontae Smith tweets, give him the damn ball. I mean, come on now.
Yep.
He's a receiver, and he's saying run the football.
Yep. You got to run the football. You run the football, you establish a run, your passing game opens up. I mean, it's as simple as that. I mean, you know, 2020, look at the explosiveness they had. What was Najee Harris's stats? Or just his rushing yards, at least.
1,466 yards rushing.
There you go.
43 yep. touchdowns.
I mean, come on.
Rushing the football. not
running the ball.
Not even catching the football.
Yeah.
Which, if I'm not mistaken, he had 13 of those. So, mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
He accounted for 53 touchdowns and probably 1,600 yards.
Twitter tried to argue.
Yeah. Look at Bama in 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. They're explosive. I
tried to argue that the pass sets up the run. Yeah. There's no way in football history has the pass set up the run.
If that were the case, Texas Tech would be national champions every year. Or Mississippi State or somebody like that. I mean, that's the reason why Mississippi State can't get past a certain point.
Yeah.
You know? They can't. Yeah. There's no balance there.
The Big 12 will have a lot more championships.
They would.
If
they
that really was would. The case.
Well, let's look at it offensively. I mean, we were able to – I mean, it was about as disastrous of a start as we could have had with Stetson Bennett just coming out. And it was all nerves, honestly. Because when he finally settled down, he finally played like we knew he was capable of playing. But it was a very, very shaky, shaky start. And, you know, you go into half down 9-6. After that start offensively, you're probably elated, right?
Yes. I mean, it's – I don't think the game or the moment got too big for him. You know, I think it was just Alabama had a plan. We had a plan. And I mean, when two great plans meet each other, it's just the point of who's going to make the first mistake. Mm-hmm. You know, just like going back and I've watched this game twice already, just kind of seeing what we did. You know, Alabama just had a good game plan against today, and they really did. You know, you can't say Stetson lost. He didn't make any dumb decisions. There were a couple of times he could have ran a little bit, you know, instead of taking the sack. But I mean, at the same time, he didn't turn the ball over.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he played within himself, and I mean, it paid off. We flipped the field, had great, great special teams play with putting the football. We flipped the field. We actually gained a couple of yards here and there to actually be able to flip the field. So, I mean, it wasn't a bad game plan. Our defense was playing elite. So, I mean, they were doing a great job. So it was only a matter of time before the dam broke, and it finally did.
Yeah. And you know, when I referenced the shaky starts, you know, he bailed a couple of times early. He dropped that ball in that first series. Fumbled himself and just, you know, when he got calmed down after about the second series or so, he got into it and got into his rhythm. And then, but Alabama, I thought, had a tremendous, you know, that they were like, okay, you want to neutralize Will Anderson. Well, here's Dallas Turner. Here's Christian Harris. They did a good job of getting those guys involved up front too. So, you know, they had a really good game plan and we did a really good job of flipping the field. You hit the nail on the head right there. They did a really good job of flipping the field.
They did really. They did some things that I haven't seen them do. You know, they came out and played man. You know, they really didn't blitz as much. You know, they played football. You know, with the front four that they had, they dropped in coverage, which you usually don't see Alabama linebackers do, which was a good job by them. So, I mean, I think it was a very good game. The defense didn't lose the game for them. It was the fact that we were able to get pressure on Bryce Young, which we didn't in the SEC championship game.
Exactly. We forced throws. Off rhythm, off platform. We forced him to scramble some. We forced him to look down at the rush, which is exactly what we wanted to do. But, you know, coming out in the second half again, it was much of the same in the first half, just two great teams slugging each other defensively. Just great job of stopping the run and making plays when they needed it to. But then that series where I knew Alabama was screwed was when Stetson completed that first ball to the sideline to Jermaine Burton. I mean, it was about as comfortable of a rhythm throw, just an absolute pellet over there to him on the sideline. I was like, okay, here we go. Now we've settled in. Now we figured it out. Here comes the haymaker. And we landed it.
That was a great job of Monkey going back to him after the botch fumble, which I still don't think that was a fumble. If that was a fumble, then Bryce Young fumbled at the beginning of the game.
You got to be consistent there. Yeah. I mean, I thought the refs were universally bad. You know, you and I were on Rave on Sports and we were, you know, talking about that. The refs were just Those refs were atrocious, man. Like,
yeah, I've never seen those guys before either. I don't know where
they were. ACC crew, I think. So
never ACC, seen it. Never. But they I don't know who they had on line, or you could tell that every time they threw a penalty against Alabama, they didn't like it. Like, you could see the frustration on the white hat's face every time he had to call a penalty against Alabama, you know, and that kind of was the telltale of the game. Mm-hmm. But for Munkin to go back to him, play action pass, very first play, you know, after that turnover, Alabama scores, to go straight back and throw the football, you know, that just shows you that, one, they're like, all right, calm down, we got it. And for Stetson to just come out and throw a dime and then throw another dime, you know, and then the touchdown is like, well, shit, well, here we go.
Yeah, I mean, for him to put that behind him so quickly, you usually, you know, even a month ago, Stetson had a play like that, and then he tried, you know, he tried to do too much and just kept compounding his mistakes. He did not do that in this last game, and that was some incredible growth on his part, and I was glad to see that, because when he had that fumble, I couldn't help myself. I was like, oh God, here we go. You know, if Stetson could come out, calm himself down, we'll be fine. But he hasn't in the past when he's done things like this. But we've been talented enough to kind of overcome that, except against Alabama. And so that's where it kind of worried me. I was like, hey, Bama's got some momentum now. They're going to come after him. I was like, we can't go 3-and-out. I was like, we have to get a couple first downs at least if we're going to stay in this game. And not only did we get a couple first downs, we hit on a beautiful touchdown to A.D. Mitchell.
Man, it was a beautiful throw. That was actually a good job by Van Pran, snapping the football. You know,
yeah.
Did he jump far enough to get the penalty? It's either ticky tacky, but at the same time, he had enough sense to snap it, and Stetson had enough sense to just throw the ball. At worst, you'll get two penalties. You get offsides, and then you might get a PI, which we're going to take the PI. You know what I mean? So it was a win-win situation, no matter what. Mm-hmm. But we got the bonus, and we got a touchdown out of it.
Yep, we got a touchdown, and we were able to decline the penalty, and here we go. And that was the point when A.D. Mitchell caught that. I was like, we're not losing this game. We're just not, you know, and it was only a 2-point game at that point, but I was like, we're not losing this game.
And the 2-point play, on the other hand, was a little, I see what they were doing. I think they were going to think that Alabama would open pursuit at the same time. They did a really good job all night up until the next series after that of playing disciplined football, you know, so the 2-point play was a little odd, but after that, I mean, I think, Munkin calmed down. I think the whole offensive staff and everybody just kind of calmed down. It was like, guys, we got this. Let's go down and win it.
And then we just do what we always do. The offensive line saw blood in the water, and God almighty, they were blocking to the echo of the whistle. They were pancaking people. Mm-hmm. They were trying to get in front of the ball. You know, the play of the night for me was when all five offensive linemen just bulldozed for an extra 6 yards. And he has Justin Schaefer diving. He goes supermanning over the pile. That was phenomenal. That's when I knew we were fired up. We were gonna punch one in the end zone. After a terrible spot on third down. No, it was second down. The second down spot where we clearly got the first down. The pylon cam, every camera angle showed that we crossed the line to gain. And they spotted us third and one. That was probably the most undisciplined play that I saw from Alabama, where you know, their ends and everybody crashed on James Cook, because that's where the ball was going to go. Great call by Munkin for the RPO. And Stetson, I think Stetson knew the situation. He had the wherewithal. Like, he knew pre-snap, I'm going to pull this and throw it to Brock, because they're gonna collapse on James. They're gonna collapse on James Cook, and they did. You know, Dallas Turner, those guys came blitzing off the back edge like they were gonna hero this thing and run it down from the backside. We pull it, dump it over, touchdown, game sealer. Here we go.
That is a great under screen by them. Leak play is what we call it, because we run it as well. If the defender is about 2 inches taller, he bats that ball down.
Oh, yeah.
Stetson did a really good job of, one, seeing it pre-snap read and knowing mm-hmm. that, hey, I got to get this ball out fast. Brock mm-hmm. did a good job of not panicking, because I think he was like, oh, crap, I'm wide open. Let's not forget the most important key to this whole entire play was the outside delivery. Perimeter blocking by the receiver.
Yeah, the delivery and the perimeter blocking.
If he doesn't make that block, I mean, we get stopped. It's first down, yeah, but we don't get the touchdown on that particular play because there was right. absolutely nobody there.
Yeah.
Tua ain't going to make that tackle.
No. Poor guy ain't going to make the tackle, man. That's, you're not tackling Brock. The Mackey, wait, no, he didn't win the Mackey. The guy that won the Mackey, yeah. Mackey scored 11 less touchdowns than Brock did. So, So, last thing about this game, and we're going to plow into an early 2022 look. What was your reaction on the Kelee Ringo pick six?
Man, when he picked it, I'm sitting here in the living room. I got, my sister and everybody's here. He picked that ball and I said, it's over. It's over. I was like, he's going to get tackled, and we're going to take a knee. Alabama's out of timeout. So I mean, we're good. But to see him take the ball back for touchdown and seal it was mm-hmm. absolutely phenomenal. You see Kirby, I don't know if people saw this or not, but you see Kirby as soon as he picked it say, get down, Kelee, get down, get down, get down. And Kelee said, nope, this is my moment, coach. I got him taking it to the apartments. And he went to the crib.
there was no doubt.
Out of there.
When he started running, he didn't get down. There was no doubt he was going to score. There was no way he wasn't. Because he wasn't going to be
with the phenomenal block for the touchdown. No matter what you say, he got blowed up. Yeah, but he got in the way.
Just so giving him score. Just sacrificing himself, taking the landmine. I call those the landmine because you just get obliterated. just taking the landmine there, taking the grenade, and man, that was awesome. Yeah, I was just to give you a little context. Like I sat down for like the first series, and then as soon as I got up, I stood about a foot from the TV. I was just standing. I was pacing back and forth. I stood about a foot from the TV. I was on the chat, the Ravon chat, and I was pacing back mm-hmm. and forth. I burnt 700 calories watching this game.
Yeah, I stood the whole first half.
Yeah,
and then my wife was like, "You need to eat," and I was like, "Fine." So I ate a cheeseburger or something at halftime. But after that, I stood the whole entire time like glued to the television.
Yep, I think. Kirby and I had the same vertical when Kelee made that pick. And I was saying, I was waving him like I was a third base coach, like he could see me. I was like going nuts, man.
Man, my babies were asleep and I was like, screw that, man. We just scored. Yes. We're national champs.
Yeah, I was like, this one's over. I was like, go, Kelee. Yeah. I was trying not to wake up Huck and man, it was it was nice. I drank a spark in the first half to make sure I wasn't going to get tired enough, but I didn't, standing a foot from the TV, I didn't think I was going to get tired anyway, but I don't sleep these days. So, but yeah, hey. There you go. Had a nice exercise watching this game. Nice little,
believe it, baby.
Believe it. So, I'm going to give some good championship gear. I'm getting it ordered here soon. And we'll get that shirt that has the Atlanta Braves and the Georgia logo and the state of Georgia. And we'll get that one. And we'll get, oh, yeah. We'll get two.
I like that one.
We'll get two shirts because I'm a Braves fan too. So, but,
love it.
But yeah, let's move the needle now. 2022 is upon us. Like any other season, in the last four, probably, from here on out, we got departures. This is going to give us the first glimpse at really what this roster is going to look like. I think half the team's going to the NFL, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. I love that because, well, what program wouldn't want to send a whole bunch of people to the NFL, right? And I think every single one of these guys will go and contribute. I mean, I saw Charlie Warner on the field last weekend for the 49ers. And I saw him on the field quite a bit. So, I mean, who's to say these guys can't do it? So you got Jamari Sawyer, James Cook, De'Aaron Kendrick, Jake Kamada, Channing Tindall and Quay Walker will all play in the Senior Bowl as well. So that'll be awesome. These are guys that had a year of eligibility, but they chose, obviously they had that COVID year, but they chose just to go ahead and head on to the NFL. Then you have Zamir White, no surprise. Don't blame him one bit. He's going to kill it. Lewis Seen, N'Kobe Dean, George Pickens, Trayvon Walker, and John Fitzpatrick, all juniors that are declaring early. The only one that really kind of surprised me was Fitzpatrick. I didn't know if he was an NFL guy or not, but I guess he's going to shoot a shot at this point.
Man, he's going to go to like the Ravens or the 49ers, teams that actually use a tight end. He's probably going to kill it, you know, mm-hmm. get a little bit more development as far as, you know, route running and stuff. Yeah. You know, because he was more featured as a blocking tight end this year. So, I mean, sky's the limit for that kid. And, you know, anytime a kid has a chance to go to the NFL, I mean, by all means, take it. If you get that letter back and you're first, third, whatever round, and you feel comfortable doing it, hey, by all means, go. You know, it depends on what you I said it and I tweeted today. It depends on what the player's end goal is. If your end goal is to play in the NFL, go to the NFL. Go.
Go. Yeah,
you know, make your way and do whatever you need to do.
He did what he needed to do for us. Yeah.
Hey, it is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to come back, raise your stock, come on back. If you feel like you've maxed out and done all you can do with your NFL draft stock, then by all means, take your shot, man. Because I think he'll be a good piece in an offense that has an established pass catcher at tight end, like the Chiefs with Kelce, the Ravens with Mark Andrews, the Niners with Kittle. I mean, Fitzpatrick's not going to be that guy, and that's okay. There is roles for guys like Fitzpatrick in the NFL, and I think he'd be a great complementary piece to any one of those teams I just mentioned, and probably a handful more. So. I wish him luck. And then obviously all the guys on defense are just going to, it's going to be ridiculous. And of course, not on that list is Jordan Davis, but I mean, come on.
We all know.
Yeah. I mean, come on. he's going, he's going to be a top five guy. I mean, it's already there. And N'Kobe Dean's going to be a top 15 guy. Depending on kind of where those run of inside linebackers fall. So just thankful for those guys and their contributions. Jake Camarda is going to be, I think Jake Camarda is going to get drafted. Like punters don't usually get drafted, but I think Camarda will. He's a weapon.
Yeah, I think he raised his stock, you know, in the especially in the national championship game, the way he was able to put the field. I mean, he's booming punts, you know, and Alabama is usually really good with punt returns. I mean, he had great hang time within the 20 to 5 yard line. I know a lot of those punts. So, I mean, you can't knock what he did all season. So, and like you said, he probably one of the few punters who were taken, you know, on the first two, 3 days. Never met.
Yeah. I mean, punters usually go rounds 5, 6, 7, but he'll, you know, that's, if he goes round 5, that's like, might as well be a first rounder in the punting world. So that'll be good for him. So, you know, draft day is going to be exciting. We've got a lot of guys up for the draft this year. So that'll be good. That'll be a good recruiting tool as well. So just like that national championship parade was, man, that was crazy too.
Man, that was awesome. To see all those people out there, you know, and it's good for recruiting, you know, it's good. This is what happens when you come to Georgia. You win a national championship. You're going to get a parade. People are going to love you. Sometimes people are going to hate you too, which I know we're getting that here in a second. But I mean, you know, to see that many people come out, that many people excited, you know, it's 41 years of not winning a national championship, always being close, always being second best to Alabama, and you beat them.
I mean, you get heartbreaks.
It's a phenomenal feat.
Absolutely, man. You get heartbreak starting with Todd Blackledge in Penn State in 81 and 82 with Dan Marino. You know, then you hit some lean years in the late 80s where you're good, but you're not great. Then you hit the Ray Goff era, which you had a lot of talent, but it just was awful. You know, you'd finish 6-6 just about every year. Then you had Jim Donnan, who recruited like crazy, but could never get over the major hump of, you know, he'd be a perennial 8-4 guy. And then Mark Richt came in, blew the lid off of it, got this program trending in the direction to finally land 21 years later to finally land in the national championship as champions. You know, started, you know, honestly, you know, that next step, I mean, every generation of Georgia players kind of contributed, okay, we're getting there, we're close, we're getting there, we're getting the talent, we're getting the talent, we're getting the talent, we're getting ourselves in position. And then, you know, something bad will happen. We're getting ourselves in position. We're going through it now. Mark Richt comes, we win a few SEC championships. Okay, so we've gotten over that hump now. Okay, so now let's, you know, now let's work on getting the BCS. Well, we got in the BCS. You know, we got in those big time bowls a few times. Got kind of past that hump, and then we had a few lean years, and then, you know, and then Mark Richt gets burnt out. Here comes Kirby. We get two national championship appearances in 6 years. So just a great legacy there. So it's awesome.
It is. And to think that people are upset.
I can't believe that. It's
crazy.
First of all, Amir Speed, Jalen Johnson, Justin Robinson, Jalen Kimber, Latavius Brini, Lavasi Carroll, Tyler Malachias, Chase Haroff, JT Daniels, and Jermaine Burton all have entered the transfer portal. Brini has landed at Arkansas, Jalen Kimber at Florida. That one stings. Justin Robinson to Mississippi State, Jalen Johnson to East Carolina, and Amir Speed reuniting with Mel Tucker at Michigan State. So we wish those guys well. Once a dog, always a dog. I have no ill will towards that. They made a decision. Thankfully, they made a decision in January and not in July. So I'm happy about that. Yeah. And thankful for what they've done.
All of those guys contributed at some point to mm-hmm. us even being in the national championship game. So, you know, to those guys, you know, I wish you all the best. You know?
Exactly.
But let's also take a look at this. Let's look at the defense side before we get to the offensive side.
All right.
Those guys, all of them played a lot, if you really think about it, whether special teams, whether in a backup role. I mean, they mm-hmm. play some significant minutes in football games.
Mm-hmm.
They just weren't the guy.
No, they weren't.
And, you know, the transfer portal is for people who weren't the guy, the university they were at to begin with.
And some people need a fresh start.
It happens. It happens. You know what I mean?
It's not
going to be mad at a kid for leaving. Why? Yeah. What's his end goal? Like I said, what is the end goal? Their end goal is to play football and to hopefully make it into the NFL. So they went to a school to where that happens.
Mm-hmm.
At Georgia, we're about production. Are you a good practice player? Can the coach trust you?
Mm-hmm.
And if you go and watch film of those guys, they weren't very trustworthy at times, just from watching. You know, I was a 4-star recruit, but I didn't like to go to class. So I wasn't very trustworthy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah, I mean,
trust me, I've been there.
Yeah,
I've been there. So I'm not upset. No. You know what I mean? So I'm not ashamed of that either. You know, it got me to where I am today. I learned from my mistakes, and you know, I keep it pushing. But I never thought about transferring.
Right.
You know what I mean? It wasn't an option back then either.
And if it was readily available, would you have thought about it? If the portal was like it is now.
But at the same time, I mean, it was my fault. So, yeah. I mean, it wasn't like, oh, coach don't like me. No, because you ain't going to class. So, I mean, it's predominantly your fault. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, you know, for those guys, they felt like they want a new start. By all means, go get your new start. Same thing with Burton. Same thing with JT Daniels. Those guys want a fresh start wherever they go.
Mm-hmm.
Great. You know, they chose to do that. That's the great part of America. You get to choose what you want to do.
And more power to them. So, and lastly, on the departures, coaches, Cortez Hankton off to LSU, be closer to his family, taking a lateral move there. And then Dan Lanning begins his stint as the head coach at the University of Oregon. So that he's leading the Ducks program, hopefully into a more physical brand of football. Maybe he can bring that physicality over to the Pac-12, which is much, much needed. But best of luck to those two guys as well. Dan Lanning, especially, absolutely killed it here. And I appreciate everything that he has done for this program. Go do your thing at Oregon, man.
Yes, for sure. Coach Hankton, who did a great job with our receiving corps, pass game coordinator. You know, most people in Hawaii, you go on the lateral move. Well, he's from Louisiana. That's where his family is. You know what I mean? So people say it's a lateral move, but it's a family. You know, his wife, they, all of them, you know, why not go home? Why not be able to go home?
Yeah, I mean, there's all kind of factors involved. I mean, obviously, professionally, on paper, it's a lateral move because he goes from wide receiver coach to wide receiver coach. But again, there's other things at play here, and family obviously comes first, and I don't fault him for that. And likely, Jermaine Burton will probably go with him over to LSU.
Most definitely. And, you know, when people saying Stetson coming back, which is the driving force in two offensive guys leaving. Well, here's my take on that. JT, if he was the Bear quarterback, would have started when he came off the injured list, point blank and period. Mm-hmm. Jermaine Burton was hurt and or had lingering injuries throughout the whole season. Whether or not he played all the games or not, if a guy's not 100% or he can't do the things that, you know, you're accustomed to him doing, you're not going to put him in the game. But when he was in the game, he was very impactful, very impactful. Mm-hmm. You know, Terrence Edwards was tweeting about it today. You know, Terrence trained him. He knows him personally. So, I mean, Terrence isn't upset. He understands it. Former player, one of the greatest wide receivers to come out of Georgia. If he can understand it, then why can't a fan understand that?
Yeah, I mean, there's just, again, it's just circumstances, opportunity, and again, he's just somebody that needed a fresh start and probably wanted a fresh start, get healthy. And, you know, he got his national championship ring. And now let's go see if he can make that magic happen, you know, somewhere else. Let's check it out. But what I don't understand, and clearly Stetson Bennett, say what you want to say. I mean, you know, the things that JT is better than Stetson at are different from the things that Stetson is better than JT at, and
Stetson's on paper.
Yep. And Stetson's skill set, his moxie, his intangibles were obviously the difference maker in why Stetson Bennett was leading us in the national championship game and not JT Daniels. I don't understand. And if you follow Israel on Twitter, it's clear that he doesn't understand that you don't understand as well why people would be upset that the quarterback that just got you your first national championship in 41 years says, hey, let's run it back. I think every other fan base, if you ask Pitt fans, would they be excited if Kenny Pickett said, let's run it back? Absolutely. You damn right they would be. And he just won the ACC. And Pitt ain't done a damn thing since Dan Marino left. You mean to tell me that a special quarterback that defied a million different odds, improved weekly, drastically. I mean, his deep ball from week one to now, outstanding. His understanding of the game, his instincts, things like that, all of that improved. It had to, or we wouldn't be in the position that we were in. We would probably lost to Michigan if they didn't. Like, if the same Stetson Bennett from the Tennessee game was playing against Michigan, we'd probably lose that game.
Definitely.
He got better, guys. I know you hate to admit that. I know it sounds bad that it's a two-star walk-on starting for Georgia for 3 years now. Seems like that shouldn't happen. He's only a two-star walk-on out of high school. He's playing good, if not better, than every quarterback on that roster. And it's a fact. Kirby's not going to play the lesser guy just because of he's a story. He's not going to do that. I don't care what you say. Now, it's going to be – he's going to have to win it again. He's going to have to win his job again. He's going to be competing with Vandegrift and Gunnar Stockton. He's going to – and Carson Beck until Carson Beck transfers. He's going to have to compete again with those guys for the starting quarterback job. If he gets beat out, he gets beat out. So be it. But if he doesn't, there's a reason why. And I don't understand why people are upset about that.
And let's look at why they're upset. Everybody says five-star, elite. Here's what you don't understand about the game of football. If you go out and put up 55 points a game, which is great, by the way, but your defense is giving up 52 points a game, that's not very good.
That's not elite.
Defenses win championships.
That's not an elite team.
That's not everybody's talking about elite offense. I'm okay with winning 2-0, 3-0, or anything like that, because guess what that means? That means you're going to be playing for a national championship. Win. And you're in point blank period. If me having a pocket quarterback is the difference in throwing the ball everywhere, I mean, it is what it is. Of course, we want elite receivers to come in and all that good stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong.
That being said, we averaged one less point per game than Bama's elite offense.
Yes, we run the football. We're a running team. We've been a running team.
It's not like we're not explosive. People equate explosiveness with passing game, which is not necessarily true.
Yes. We got Terrence Edwards, Reggie Brown, Hines Ward, AJ Green, Tavares King, Marlon Brown. I mean, all these guys played receiver at Georgia and played in the NFL. So, I mean... the arguments and you saw on Twitter. The arguments. I was shutting everything down. I was like, we don't like the guy that I was going with, Chris or whatever. He was talking about air raid. Come out. We don't want to form an air raid. I said Alabama's offense is a form of the air raid: mesh, screens, inside zone, outside zone.
All air raid is a horizontal intermediate passing attack where you're going to take a few shots vertically, but really the majority of it is you're attacking the intermediate zones horizontally and making teams defend the entire width of the field. Bama's just a better running team than your standard air raid teams. So that's the only difference. That's the only difference, man. They're a better running team than Mississippi State or Oklahoma or those teams. You know, you can't, you know, why was Georgia so effective in the passing game? Why were we able to have that one drive that where we hit A.D. Mitchell on the touchdown?
Let's not forget the deep ball that we threw to George Pickens off the play action. Because why? Because Cook and McIntosh just ripped off two big runs. Play action, throw it over the top. Never in the history of football has the pass set up the run. Never, never has that ever happened.
Never, 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 never. I didn't have enough nevers memorized. But, look at all Georgia's big pass plays. How many count on your hands? How many of them are straight drop back?
Even when JT was in the game,
how many of them are straight drop back?
I don't remember one.
Every time we go straight drop back,
I was at the South Carolina game, and I don't remember us just dropping back and throwing the football.
When we did, it was quick.
Yes, which is a part of the air raid system.
And when we tried against Bama, we got sacked. It's all off the run game.
It makes common sense.
It's all off the run game, guys. You don't know that? It's all off the run game. People hammer Todd Monken. Oh, we're not creative enough. Really? Go back and watch it. You want to see unimaginative?
We weren't creative against Clemson at all.
No, we weren't. That was conservative. That was, hey, our defense is kicking ass. Let's just hang on to the ball. But then again,
Clemson has a five-star quarterback as well, and they struggled because they couldn't throw the football, nor did they have a run game.
They didn't, they had zero run game, and DJ Ungula, they was on. It's hard to throw the ball from your back.
Yes,
it's hard to throw the ball when you're laying on the ground when you get sacked nine times.
So if you don't have a somewhat elusive quarterback, then it doesn't work. Look at Caleb Williams. Yes, they throw the ball a lot, but he also runs the ball a lot as well.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Stetson. He was able to use his legs to get out of countless situations to where he was about to get destroyed. But he was able to run out of it.
And you know what's scary? Gunnar Stockton and Brock Vandegrift are five-star versions of Stetson.
And they run 4.4s.
They run 4.4s, and they're a little bit bigger and stronger with more live arm.
Yeah, and there's this thing called the transfer portal as well, which a lot of receivers are in, looking for a new home. There's this thing called recruiting. Kirby has a big helicopter, which he was in Albany yesterday recruiting. So,
can you get a picture with him? Disappointed in you.
He didn't come to my school. I'm kind of jealous about that. We're going to have to talk about that. But
he went over to Lee, didn't he?
Yeah, he went to Doherty too, which was, you know, kind of slap in the face, but kind of sad about that. We have to talk about that.
Come on, Kirby. Got to be better than that. They were, he wasn't thinking clearly after being in New Orleans with Arch.
You know, understandable.
So I don't get it. Stetson's coming back. Appreciate it. I mean, love the kid for what he does. Don't hate him because of his limitations. Does he have limitations? Yes. Yes, he does. Does Brock Vandegrift have limitations? Yes, he does. Does Bryce Young have limitations? Obviously, he does. We showed it. We showed the world. Does every quarterback in America have limitations? Yes. Even some guy named Tom Brady. He's limitations
too. Let's not forget, we have a really good recruiting class coming in of running backs, of offensive linemen. So, I mean, nobody's decommitted, last that I heard. The culture's great. So there's no culture. There's no culture to chew.
Everything is fine. It's the, like I said in a tweet yesterday, it's the transfer portal era. There's going to be a lot more player movement than ever before. It's going to happen.
More trophies, more problems.
Buckle up. Alabama lost 14 guys to the portal. It happens. They're going to be just fine. Alabama's going to be just fine. So is Georgia.
And that's just to the portal. Like, not talking about NFL guys. We're just talking about the portal.
It's just the portal. We lost, I think so far, it's 10 guys off the portal. Only one of these guys got really significant time.
Thank you.
Latavius Breeny, which he's kind of more of a, he lost his job. So I get it. But Robert Beal comes back. That's a huge get. Thanks to some legal issues, he got a bump. He comes back for a senior year. William Poole is coming back. Nolan Smith, which I think is a great thing that he's coming back, because he could put on a little bit more weight and he could hone his craft just a little bit more. I think he's on the verge of being a first rounder. He made the right decision. Tyke Smith coming back after a disastrous year of injury. So I'm happy to see what he can do at corner finally. And then Chris Smith coming back. I love it. I don't know what his NFL stock was, but he's a leader of that secondary. I absolutely love that he's coming back. Would I have blamed him if he left?
Lost the team. If Kirby has lost the team or the culture is bad, those guys wouldn't be coming back regardless.
Not a soul,
any factor.
Like, you would see William Poole trying to depart for the NFL or grad transfer somewhere. Like, William Poole ain't doing either. William Poole's best bet is to stay here. He had a tremendous game, by the way. But
really good game.
But yeah, I mean, I'm excited. 2022 is going to be outstanding. It's going to be Kendall Milton, Kenny McIntosh, Daiwan Edwards season now. Branson Robinson, I think, is going to get some run as well. He's going to be an X factor. But I think ultimately it's going to be Kendall Milton, who's going to be finally healthy. I think he's been battling a lot of injuries. That's why you didn't see him as much for a better part of the season. He was dealing with injury and he just couldn't quite get right, which is good that he's coming back and he'll be healthy. Kenny McIntosh.
His dad completely shut down Twitter about him transferring to.
I love that.
Once again, that shows you that there's nothing going on at Georgia.
No, the sky is not falling.
They love Georgia. He's coming back. He's battle back. So I mean,
the sky. Chill. The sky is not falling. It's not falling.
Or I'll tweet you. Or I'll tweet you and shut every ounce of your complaining down.
Actually, just do that because I need some entertainment. Tomorrow's gonna be a crappy day at school, because it's Friday. We were off today because of ice. So, but yeah. So I think looking at the running back room, it's gonna be back and better than ever. And that's really hard to say when you lose two first, second round guys in Zamir White and James Cook. I don't know exactly where they'll get drafted, but it'll be pretty high. So that's a pretty impressive thing to be able to say that your running back room is going to improve despite losing those guys. Your wide receiver room is going to be, it's going to be interesting. But you know, you have Arian Smith there. You have, Rosemary Jack Saint, who's going to be a little bit healthier. You have AD Mitchell, you have Ladd McConkey. I mean, you've got some talent still left. I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not like Pickens and Burton left and you're left with absolutely nothing in the cupboards bare. I mean, you got some recruits coming in. You'll probably get a portal guy or two and you'll be just fine. Offensive line is going to be strong as ever. I mean, the defensive line
back off of injury.
You do, you get tape back. So that's going to be good. But literally and figuratively. You know, the only positions of concern, obviously, are still defensive back, which I think it's a lot of it because these guys are unproven. Mm-hmm. Which I mean, these guys last year were relatively unproven, so I mean, it doesn't make much of a difference. So you got Kelee Ringo coming back, so that's good. Then you have the defensive line, which you know, you lose what you lose. Trayvon Walker, Devontae Wyatt, and Jordan Davis. I mean, it's obvious you're gonna, you know, it's gonna be tough to replace, but I mean, we got guys that can do it, they just got to do it. I think that's just, yeah.
You know, on the defensive side of the ball, offensively, I mean, you get a lot of guys back with, you know, a lot of playing time. They just got to get reps. The great thing about our defense, even though you lose the Kobe Deans and all those guys of the world, we rotated guys. So everybody who's playing defense got some time last year. You know, we're thrown in the fire early and they rotated in games. You know, they don't have a lot of stats or a lot of minutes, but at the same time, they play a lot of great snaps. So, I mean, the game won't be too big for them.
No.
That's the great thing about the defensive side of the ball.
Exactly. So we'll kind of see how it all shakes out. We've got plenty of time to discuss 2022. So, but that's the earliest look at it. Before we leave you for this week, Israel, what's going on with basketball, man? I mean, obviously the girls are killing it, but Tom Crean is not the guy, is he? Like, help me out here. Like, am I just being irrational here, or
something's not right?
It just didn't seem like watching us last night. We didn't play very inspired basketball. It was sloppy. It was just, we just wanted to make it out of Auburn so we could get back and watch Cobra Kai or something. I don't know. Like, what? I don't know what's going on.
At this point, I want to go and ask our women's basketball coach if she can coach both, because it's not good. No. You know, I'm not really a basketball guy, but I do watch. I watch Georgia play when they're playing, and I was about to get in my truck and drive to the game and coach them myself.
It is so hard to watch. I could not watch it. I tried on several occasions this season. I tried. I can't do it. Like, it's even worse than it. I just can't do it. Like, I could barely stomach it under Mark Fox, and now it's getting worse. Like,
I don't understand, because I just watched Milton play a team out of New Jersey, and Milton's in Alpharetta, as you know. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal basketball players. But we're not getting all the phenomenal basketball players in Atlanta. And they're playing overseas. They're playing AAU ball. I mean, they're playing against LeBron James' son. I mean, they're playing some great basketball. But we're not getting any of those guys. And that's a problem. We're getting
Auburn,
them in football.
Auburn is starting to get them. Kentucky's getting them. Yeah, we're definitely getting them. We're preseason top 16 in baseball.
You know, so all the other sports are keeping Georgia talent in Georgia except basketball. And that's a problem.
Yeah, and
even tennis and golf.
Yeah. Nobody's leaving for golf. They're coming to the show, man. They're coming to Athens. Why? I mean, you can't go down the road and recruit those guys. Like, we need somebody that can beat out Bruce Pearl and Calipari, and you know, the run at Duke is over. Like, they're no longer dominant. Like, this is the time to start getting these guys.
Man, to the point I'm about to start, you know, handing out Big Macs and stuff now, because this is getting ridiculous. I'm kidding, by the way, but still. This is a problem.
McDonald's bags. Yes. It'd be legal now though, but yeah, I don't understand it. I don't, when you have your entire team transfer out.
Yes.
That's a problem.
Now that is a problem.
That's a problem.
Your starters are leaving.
You had all five bolt.
Yeah.
All five. And you played against one of them last night. Mm-hmm. You let one like get up to Kentucky.
You don't have the facilities. It's not like you don't have the facilities. You don't have a supportive AD who has graciously granted you another year. Every year can be a rebuilding year.
You have a rabid fan base that clearly will travel to the depths of the earth to watch you play and cheer you on. I mean, Kirby made a reference to getting part ownership of the state of Indiana with how we took it over the two times we've been in Indiana.
Exactly. So, I mean, I'm never a proponent for firing anybody, because, you know, me being a coach, last thing I want is to be fired. But yeah, when you're not getting the job done,
it's just not working. You know, you just at some point, like, you know, you got to move on. Like, Tom Crean will be fine. He's good, but he's not a fit for Georgia. He needs to be in a Midwestern, mid-major team and just build those guys and just coach the hell out of those guys.
Exactly.
That's where he needs to be. I mean, Mark Fox has done well in his, I think he's at what, Nevada?
Yeah, something like that.
He's still okay.
Look at all these young NBA coaches who are, you know, they didn't quite fit it in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Go grab one of those guys, perhaps.
I mean, there's in about a week or two, there's going to be about 17 NBA coaches that get fired. Those guys get fired every couple of weeks, man. They cycle through coaches like freaking.
I think you're going to need. Same thing with every sport that we have. Mm-hmm. You're going to need a young mind with fresh ideas that's going to come in, a coach that the kids can relate to. You know, look at the women's side. I mean, there's a reason why they're playing outstanding basketball right now. They believe in Coach Taylor. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're out there busting it every day. But if your team doesn't believe in your head coach, then that's a problem. I think that's what's going on with basketball right now. Until you get a coach that comes in, it's not going to be any better.
And it's obvious, and there's no recruits that will come play for that either.
Yeah.
Which is even worse.
That bothers me is that it's obvious. There's an obvious disconnect between player and coach, and that is not what you want.
I mean, there's not really, I don't see really any benefit of firing him now. I don't think there's any upside to it really. Because you just want to clean.
You've already
start.
Missed out on this class. Yeah. You already missed out on the recruiting class. So I mean, new guy come in will probably struggle a little bit, but I think it'd be better just because it's a fresh mind coming in. But you let him come in and kind of, hey, this is me, this is my face, kind of put his face on the program, and then you go after that.
Mm-hmm. not who that guy is. I have no idea. Like if you press me and say,
"Pretty sure my man Coach Brooks, my man Josh Brooks is he's working on it.
He'll figure it out. He's doing some research. Whoever he hires, I trust."
Won a natty. Just won a natty.
He did.
He's on the ball.
He is. But yeah, I mean, like last night's game, like that shouldn't happen. You shouldn't get blown out in conference. You just
conference game should be tough. They should be close. You know, you're going to have a game where you're off a little bit, but not but in the manner which we're off.
Like a blowout, an in-conference blowout should be like 12 points, not 23.
Yeah.
Not 23 points.
No,
like you shouldn't lose by 23 to anybody in your conference. Like that's how, like basketball, you recruit three guys out of Atlanta, you'll be just fine. You do that every year. You'll be number two in the country, like Auburn. You know, Bruce Pearl's figured it out. But one of the things I do like about college basketball now is you don't have to awkwardly watch grown men sweat through suits anymore. The suit game has gone by the wayside now in college basketball. So we don't have to see Bruce Pearl soaking through an orange blazer now.
Man, I like that. You know, and I know I'm a football coach, but I'm not into the collar shirt button down deal, you know, polo deal anymore. You know, I wear t-shirts kind of like what I got on now. Uh-huh. When I coach, so I love the way the game has evolved, you know, out of that. You know, I'm all about professional, like as you get off the bus, you know, you know, when you're in game, be comfortable.
Yeah. I mean, you should
go to war at that point.
Yeah. Just be you, be comfortable. I'm a pullover guy. I love rocking the pullovers. I'll rock the short sleeve pullover, in games, quarter zip pullovers in games. If you haven't bought a New Era brand one, if New Era wants to sponsor us, by all means, your freaking pullovers are awesome. So, just keep that in mind. But yeah, I mean, I'm here for that. I mean, now it's time for baseball coaches to not have to wear a uniform. Like that's kind of silly.
Yeah. I think that the whole uniform is, I remember having to do that when I coached baseball and it was kind of uncomfortable. But you know,
my coach let me wear a pullover at least. Like we didn't have to wear full uniforms, but we could wear, I had to wear baseball pants, which I mean, it's not the end of the world, but
you know,
getting to wear a pullover just kind of made it a little bit better, I guess.
Yeah. You know, I'm all for the professionally casual look.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Just don't wear shorts on the sideline. I learned that. Don't be that guy. So, basketball, just got to figure out somebody who's going to take over, fresh young mind, players can relate to, be able to recruit, keep the top guys in Georgia, keep them from going to Kentucky and Auburn and Florida and Duke and Wake and North Carolina and those programs, keep them here, lock it down,
but
lock it the F down. So, but Israel, that's gonna wrap it up for us, man. I last thing I want to talk to you about, you had a nice little radio appearance last week. How was that? How did that come about?
Man, it was great. You know, I got a phone call, text message, you know, asking me to be on a couple of radio shows. You know, but it was because of this show, actually, because of everything that Brinks does for us. Bet Online, Corey, everything that you do. I mean, it's not me. It's everything that you guys do. I just happen to be a regular guy, you know, that played at Georgia. So it is very much a thank you to you guys and all our supporters out there. But, you know, I had a chance to talk on a couple of radios and, you know, give my prediction of the game, our keys to win and things like that. You know, like you say, you know, you like the thing that they listen to you. You know, and you would think that if anybody listened to anything I said, that they wouldn't try to tweet me at all.
No,
but you know, you have a couple that will try.
Yeah, they'll try you. You know,
it was a great experience. Great experience. You know,
good,
being able to talk dogs, being able to be on this platform, you know, with you, everything that everybody brings does for us. It's not just me. And I will say that to the cows come home, guys, this is, this is me. This is everything Corey does, everything that Brinks does, because I mean, they're the brains behind the operation. Without them, there is no me.
Well, Israel, without you, there is no us. You know, I'm probably not here. I'm probably hosting SEC After Dark, and that's it. So I probably don't have the platform quite the way it looks. I mean, it, you know, honestly, you've kind of taken away the pressure of having to get a cycle of guests in here, because you and I just come in here and chop it up, and that's all we need, really. You know, it's great to have a guest every once in a while. And again, I do want to get some of your guys in here, some of your friends and guys you played with, and just, you know, just have a relaxed show and just chop it up. But the perspective you bring is, you know, it makes the show, man. And I can't say enough how much I appreciate you being on board and continue to be on board. I mean, we're going to build this brand and we're going to expand this thing, and it's going to get to new heights, but you know, it doesn't without you and it doesn't without us. So that's where we're at, man.
We're one big happy family. That's right. So don't come for us either. Right.
No, you come at Israel, you're going to get me. I'm going to jump in the pile. I'm going to be a pile jumper. I'm like that offensive lineman. I'm going to come through there, get that late shot off of you, man. I'm like a O lineman at heart, I think.
I love it.
But yeah, man, it, you know, again, I'm stoked that you're getting these opportunities, man. It's like I said, I wish I'd have known about it earlier. I would have hyped it up, man.
Man, they would call. I get a text and I'm like, hey, they're gonna call. I'm in the middle of class, but all right, cool. You know, I got a couple minutes I can spare. You know, yeah.
But that's when you tell the kids to shut the hell up. I got a radio.
Luckily, my office is literally right around the corner, so I just go and take off my office for about 5 minutes. But you know, it was great. You know, especially when we came on top. You know, mm-hmm. 41 years, man. 41 years.
I mean, you're telling me, man. 40. Like I've been on this thing pins and needles since 02, man. Just waiting. That's when I officially became a Georgia student. But long before that, I'd been kind of rooting for Georgia, you know, offhand. I was kind of more of a college football fan than anything. But, you know, I always liked Georgia, always admired Georgia. But it wasn't until I enrolled in Athens until I really kind of bought into the culture. So,
yeah. But, I was always a Mark Richt fan from his Florida State days. And
I loved it, man.
When he came over to Georgia.
I was sold awesome. When they hired him. I mean, I was a senior in high school when they hired him. So mm-hmm. I was sold from the get-go. I was like, man, if he can do anything with what he did at Florida State under with Coach Bowden, and he brings that, we're going to be just fine. We're going to get that. And we were a couple plays away from national championship on three years, I can say off the top of my head. 02, 07, and 12.
Yep, that's what I was just about to say. Those years, we were so close. You know, mm-hmm. one game away, literally.
Yes. You know, we finally got it.
That trophy is at the butt smear right now, chilling.
It's just right chilling now. Next to the 1980 trophy. So, no more 1980 jokes. No more 1980 jokes. So. No. So, like I said, we are everywhere, man. We're echoing across a bunch of different platforms. So subscribe, comment, things like that. We're gonna come at you, man. We're gonna give you real perspective. This is, you know, again, former player. We're both coaches. We both work. Well, I worked inside the program. You played, and we now coach and at the high school level. So, man, that's the perspective we got. If you don't like it, just keep it moving. If you're interested in it, hey, subscribe, comment. Hey, come on. You know, you see us right here on Brinks. We're going to do our thing, man. As you see, I've added stuff. I've added props to my background, so that's good.
I know. I got to get me a robe. You know, like I said, I'm in my son's room now.
Just got to put you a couple posters on. Might as well just decorate that wall you're sitting at right now and just make that your set.
Well, you know, he's still one, so we're kind of in the baby stage of life, but we're going to redo this whole room. You know, he loves you tell him go dogs, he goes sick and woo-hoo, and he'll do it, you know, right
I
now.
Love that.
You know, so I think we're going to make him a football room.
There you go.
When he turns two, so I'll have a little studio, kind of like you bring some of my stuff that I have in storage. I'm kind of hanging up in his room.
There you go. Put your jersey up on the wall.
Yeah.
Do all that stuff. Did you acquire any jerseys?
I have all of mine for my years playing. I have all but one, which they still use kind of as a prop for recruits come, but I have all of them, but the Music City, whichever one's in Memphis, I don't have that one.
Which one do they use as a prop? That's a pretty big deal.
The one from when we played at Memphis. Which one is that one? Liberty Bowl. I don't have that one.
Right. Okay.
And they still have it in Athens, which I got to call Misha and get that one.
Yeah.
Because it'll complete the set.
There you go. Do you have any of your teammates? Did you and any of your teammates ever trade?
No, because it was frowned upon back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, we couldn't do that. NCAA rule.
Wow. So, you know, probably could now, though.
But then they started keeping them until you graduated, you know, because of, you know, the whole AJ deal. So,
yeah.
You know, like Tavares, them were still playing and things like that, you know, mm-hmm. Lump and TB, they were already gone. So we didn't get a chance to do it that way.
Right. Okay. Well, I heard TB got a head coaching interview.
That's what I heard. That's what I was just rewatching the Rams game just a minute ago.
With the Dolphins, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I don't know if he'll get it, but
I think it's time.
It's time for him. Give old TB a job. But anyway, that's going to do it for us, man. I know it's probably getting late for you. It got late real early for me. So we are subscribed to us. Find us. Believe in Georgia Dogs on all social media platforms. Subscribe, comment, do it all, man. Check us out. We are the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast. We are presented by betonline.ag. We come at you on Believe wherever you find your podcast and right here on Brinks TV. So check us out, man. For Israel Troop, I'm Corey Burton. And as always, go Dogs, and we are the champions.
Go Dogs.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.